All right. Well, welcome to the Viking Press Pass. I'm Matthew Nichol, and joining me today from the softball team, Junior Lauren Koster. So, Lauren, thanks for joining me.
Thanks for having me. I'm excited.
Absolutely. Well, hey, the Vikings, you know, they're off to an incredible, 4-0 start here. You know, they highlighted by a nice big win over a ranked Stevens Point team at the Blue Angel Invite. So what do you think has been kind of the key to the Vikings, success early on here in the season?
Ever since we ended our last season, we kind of hit the ground running. We made sure to get our work in the summer, and we came back in the fall, and we hit it pretty hard with our practices. And then we definitely had a very productive winter with our practices as well. So I think that that's been the key, is just putting in the work, and we're seeing our progress now.
Well, it seems like there's, you had a lot of, you had an opportunity to play, a lot of players kind of over that 4-game stretch there as well. And it seems like there's even been a few kind of incoming freshmen, that have been able to make some, some good plays. Who are maybe some kind of new faces to the team that, have kind of stepped up here so far, early in the season?
Yeah, so we have Elena Diaz behind the plate. She has been a huge impact on our team. She's got a great bat. She's a great leader coming in as a freshman. And she's also just a very knowledgeable player. She knows a lot about the game. Great catcher. We have Alexis Duke over at shortstop. She's phenomenal. Also a great batter. And she knows the game as well. Her and Elena have both been around it a lot with John. And then we have Haley Nelson and Emma Schmidt, who are two outfielders, and I think that they're going to make a huge impact this year as well.
I like it. Now, more broadly, I mean, this is the second year for Coach Nelson and his staff, and, how has the softball culture just changed kind of over the past two seasons on this team?
Yeah, so I think with Coach John coming in, it was definitely a lot of change, a lot of stuff that we weren't used to. Not in a bad way, but just in the sense that the practices looked a lot different, and the way that we were being coached was a lot different. So definitely an adjustment in the culture, an adjustment in kind of our mindset going into practices, what we needed to work on. And it's a lot more behind the scenes stuff, not just like at practice. We do a lot more classroom work. It's a lot more about like our team environment this year too. And I think that that's made a huge difference in our team, just being closer as girls all together and kind of having that same mindset and same goal when we go into our season so that we could all look towards that same end goal.
Now, I feel like, whether it's like the mental aspect of the game, the physical like preparation, some of the different drills. I know, he talked a little bit about when I interviewed him here, was that a week or so ago. There's just some things that, he brought to the table that were just different. I mean, what were maybe some of the different things that, he had the kind of the team doing that, maybe initially just kind of felt like this is different, or you weren't quite, sure, how did this translate, to the game? Anything like that that kind of stood out?
So the first thing I think was we have a pretty nice size binder that we come in with, going through a bunch of articles that he's found or like names of videos that he's found of what he wants us to kind of emulate throughout our season when it comes to us as people. But then also we have like our written goals, and we make sure to keep track of all of our stats. We take our metrics so that we could see how we're improving. Also during our warm-up, it's something that's a lot different with our past coaches. We came in, had like 10-15 minute kind of warm-up. Now we have a longer extended warm-up, which I think helps us get us into the mindset of the game, but it definitely took a lot of adjustments because it was something that we weren't used to, like running 7 minutes before we would start everything else. It's like, okay, this is an adjustment, but we understand why he does it. So
goals. So what were, are those like personal goals then?
So we'll have our personal goals, and then we'll also have our team goals. And we write down basically where we want us to be midseason, and then what we want it to look like at the end of season.
Okay. What are some of those goals in there for you?
My personal goals are by mid-season, I want my ERA to be below a 3.0. And then by the end of season, I want my ERA to be below a 2.8, I believe is what I have it at.
What about some of the team goals?
For the team goals, I'm hoping that by mid-season, we're winning 75% of our games, and the end goal, I want to make it past the CCIW tournament. So that's something we've been close to the past 2 years. I think we're right at that point where we're reaching for it, and I think we're ready for it this year. So
I like it. Yeah, he didn't talk about the binder, so that's a new piece of information. Now, you know, when I was talking to Coach Nelson, he mentioned that you approached him last year, you know, and said you wanted to step up as a leader, to help get the team, you know, to buy into what the coaches were just fundamentally trying to promote. So maybe question number one, like, where did that motivation come from?
I think last year or the past 2 years, my freshman and sophomore year, I worked really closely with, Nadia. I had the opportunity to being on the pitching staff. And I really looked up to her. I loved what she did, and I got to learn a lot from her. So I think just knowing, okay, I've been able to kind of see what she does. Like, I want to be able to help keep the team on this momentum track. Like, don't want to lose that with her. But also it was coming from a spot of, I had leadership positions like in the past, and coming in, I didn't take on a vocal role, knowing that that was already here on the team. So I wanted to be able to challenge the team, but also challenge myself and show that I was kind of able to do it. I was able to step into that role.
You know, how did you, you know, lean on Nadia Ranieri, you know, last year? Like, what were some of the things that maybe you picked up, you know, from her, like, leadership style that you've maybe, you know, brought into kind of the way you lead?
Yeah, so from Nadia, she's a go-getter. She gets out there and she goes and she gets it done. She's here for business. And I think that that was kind of the starting point, was knowing, okay, we're going to get in, we're going to put our head down when we're at softball. It's about absolutely nothing else. Just also when she spoke, everybody like stopped and they listened and they took in what she had to say. It wasn't just passive listening where it was nodding your head and then we move on. It was people listen and then they applied what she was saying, and everybody had a high respect for her. I still have a high respect for her. I reach out to her if I have a question about something, along with some of our other seniors. So
that's good to have someone to kind of lean on, you know, a little bit as well, especially, you know, last year, somebody who was, you know, so, you know, well thought of, you know, but as you're trying to, you know, kind of work yourself or prove yourself as a leader on the team, you know, as a sophomore, you know, it's nice to have the backup in support of a senior like, you know, like Nadia. So, you know, was there a point, you know, last year that you can recall where the team just really started to buy in, you know, to what this coaching staff was trying to promote?
I want to say that last year it would probably be near the end of our spring trip. We did a lot of traveling on our trip. It was a lot of on the bus. But I think when we were nearing like the end of our games in spring break, we were all just like talking about what we had accomplished so far and what we want to accomplish and kind of what we want the season to look like. And as we were like sitting in those hotel rooms, I think it's just realizing like that we all had such a strong ambition to go far, and we all knew what we were capable of. And I think just kind of sitting down and realizing we're more than capable of this, like, let's get there as a team, was when we realized, okay, what we're doing is working.
Yeah, that's good. It's good when you start to, you know, have some, you know, realization of, you know, what, you know, the practicing what you preach a little bit is starting to come into play. And now, who are some other maybe teammates, you know, that you've seen step up this year and also start to, you know, to play a little bit of a leadership role, you know, whether it's a vocal leader, whether it's a, lead by example. Who are some other folks kind of on the team that have stepped up?
Yeah, so we have Anna Machieski and Kennedy Williams. They kind of work side by side with me. We have a group chat. I run ideas by them. We'll go to coach if we have meetings together. Megan Nixon takes on a leadership role as well. She's more of one of those non-vocal leaders, but she gets in there and she does her work, and she's one of the hardest working people on our team. And I think a lot of our freshmen also look up to her and her work ethic, which is phenomenal. And then definitely on the junior side, we have Emma Evans and Marley Beam. They're two people who are going to be on the field, outfield, and then third base, and they are just phenomenal. They're great teammates. They push their teammates a lot. They're both very vocal, but they also have a great work ethic. They come in and they do their work, and they know that when we get here, it's business and it's nothing else. So I think that that's really important to have.
Absolutely. Well, hey, let's go back a little bit to Steven's point. As I was looking through the formerly known as Twitter sphere, now X, against Steven's point, this was the second time you've pitched against your former high school teammate, Caitlin Roberts. How fun is it, when you get to go against, former teammates like that?
I personally love it. For me, Caitlin's my best friend from home, so we go way back. We've been extremely close since high school. It's so fun playing against her, and she's a phenomenal player, so I know it's going to be a challenge going in. It's always fun to try to figure out how I'm going to pitch to her. Sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't, but I think going against somebody that I used to play with that already knows kind of how I work, but also somebody that's as talented as she is. It's always fun.
Yeah, absolutely. Has there been any other like former teammates that you've played against while at Augustana?
Not from Yorkville. There's definitely like a couple girls who I noticed from travel, where I'll be like, oh, I played against her. I've pitched against her before. So we run into those every once in a while, but Caitlin Roberts is definitely the one person that I run into the most from Yorkville.
Yeah, definitely. Well, it stood out. I know you kind of reposted her initial commitment, and so I thought that was kind of neat. You guys had a chance to go up against each other quite a bit, and you pitched in both games. So even just lining that up sometimes is pretty neat.
Yeah.
Well, hey, one of the things I'd ask is about gloves. Do you have your glove with you by chance?
I have both of them with me.
Good. Well, let's talk gloves because one of the fun things, that I know the team does is, you get to order is it a 44 Pro Custom glove? I saw last year the team did glove reveals. I wasn't sure if they did one this year on social media, but maybe walk me through, your glove and like what aspects of it can you customize? Like what choices did you make? Why'd you make those, some of those decisions? Because a glove is like it's an extension of you. So curious how you personalized
Yeah,
it.
definitely. So I have both of mine here with me right now, but this was my one from last year. You get to customize everything. You get to customize the web, the stitching, all the colors on it, and then you get to also add different things to it. So like on this one, this was my first one that I did. It says MTXE, which was my high school motto, which meant mental toughness, extra effort. I have a Bible verse in here. It's Matthew 28:20. And then I have Coster 27 on this side. And then these are just like the colors I chose for it. So that was that one. Now, this year's was a little bit different. I was told that sometimes I'm too nice and I need to be meaner sometimes. So in here, I'm gonna cover this up. I'm able to show this on the podcast. It says F 'em basically, just because it was like I needed to get a little bit tougher with my opponent. I've given the name Loco, so we have this one over here, and then Coster 27 again, and then we went with more of the black and white with the yellow.
I like it. Now, is that something that the school then in the program pays for, or is that something you pay for? I mean, how does that work?
So the program pays for it in a way. Coach John does a lot of fundraising for us, to help get us these gloves and also like our turfs and our cleats, our warm-ups and stuff. He got fundraising money from some people, and we had lifting goals. So we have like eight maxes, and if you beat six out of your eight, then you're able to get the gloves. So we have to work for it. But everybody on the team has always beaten their maxes just because we're all motivated to get better and also get the gloves.
I like it. Now, do you have like a process that you like to do for like breaking it in?
No, I just kind of play catch with it. I pound it with the mallet a little bit. I do the glove rub on it. And you're able to choose like how broken in you want it to come when you order it. So I did it like 50% ready.
Okay. Yeah, so I was a shortstop, but I preferred to play with a pitcher's glove. I don't know why. I just preferred to have the finger hole out. I just like the look of it and the feel of it more than anything. But everyone was always like, you know, do you pitch? And I'm like, no, not at all. I couldn't throw a strike to save my life. So, but I could throw it to first base pretty well. So that's cool. I always thought it was pretty cool when you see some of that stuff, and it's cool to see that there's some motivation behind, you know, getting it. You know, it's just not just a gift or something that, you know, the team fundraises behind. Like, you still have to earn it. You know, it's like, you know, it's like a recognition of a Buckeye, you know, on a football helmet or something like that. So that's pretty cool. Now on your last one, why did you choose the Matthew 28:20?
So Matthew 28:20 says, "Lo, I will always be with you." And, my brother passed of cancer. So it was kind of just like seeing it as a Bible verse, but also being able to relate to it personally. It stuck out to me a lot, and I always do something to incorporate him into the game, whether it's on my glove or I put the cancer ribbon on my hat. So I just like being able to have that with me.
That's awesome. Nice little personal touch. Let's talk a little bit about the type of pitcher. You know, how would you describe like the type of pitcher you are? Are you more of a power pitcher, a spin pitcher, more of a control pitcher? How would you kind of describe your style a little bit?
I'm definitely a spin and movement pitcher and control pitcher. I am unfortunately 5'4", so it doesn't give me a ton of power to work with in terms of height. I do what I can, but I'm really big on just locating the ball, getting my spin as perfect as it can be, and being able to move the ball, trick the batter. So I rely a lot on my movement of my pitches and just making sure that the placement is as precise as I can get it to be.
Now, have you always been that style, or has your style kind of evolved since you've been at Augie a little bit more?
I've definitely always been that way. I've never been the pitcher to kind of blow it by the batters. But I've developed more in terms of how precise everything is since I've been at Augie. I've definitely developed my rise ball a lot since I've been here. My placement and just my thought process when going through counts has developed more. So I've definitely become a smarter pitcher since I've been here. And I think that that's because of my past pitching coach, Carl, that we had a couple of years ago. But also Dan right now is extremely helpful in terms of helping me get through that thought process of batters, and we're fine tuning things every time we're in a bullpen.
Yeah. I mean, Dan Fisher is well known in the area as a pitching coach. You know, what has it been like having him on the staff and getting to work with him, you know, the last year and kind of this year? You know, he works with so many kind of in the area outside of just Augustana, you know, here now, but what has it been like just working with him?
Yeah, Dan's phenomenal. I love working with him. We've definitely developed a great relationship. Working with him is, I don't know what other word to use besides great. We go in and I start doing my bullpen and we get so nitpicky, and I love it because I like fine tuning the little things, and he picks out the smallest things that I never would even think would matter when pitching sometimes. Like, oh, I need my thumb to be turned about 25 degrees more, or like my hand turned over a little bit more, and these things that I can't feel or I can't even see when I break down my own film. So I think just being able to have that set of eyes being like, oh, these little things need to be better, and then we see the result in the pitch and it'll be within the same lesson. So I think it's phenomenal just being able to like see how much I've been able to grow having him on the staff, And I think that my stats last year showed like how much he's definitely helped, because they were definitely an improvement from my freshman year.
I mean, yeah, where do you feel like you have improved as a pitcher, you know, over the last, you know, two seasons so far?
I think I definitely learned how to pitch as a college pitcher and not just a high school pitcher or a travel pitcher. It's definitely a different game. Again, just going back to that, like, pitch sequencing and thinking through the at-bats and everything, getting to learn the batter, like, focusing on where their feet are in the box or how far back in the box they are, where their hands are starting. Just noticing all those small things before I go into pitching to them, especially when we're second, third time through the lineup. I've worked my counts a lot better and my movement's definitely improved. So I think just kind of putting that all together has definitely helped me improve as a pitcher.
Now, you mentioned, like, you know, when you're like nitpicking or watching film, like, what type of technology, you know, does the softball team use? You know, whether it's practice or games, is there anything in particular you guys use?
No, not really. We just look at what's out there. And then, like, if we have our past games, like, I'm able to go back and kind of see, like, what we saw from our past sequencing and stuff. And then be like, okay, this is how I threw against them last time, and this is what worked and what didn't. So I think just, like, having knowledge from our previous games against people.
Got it. Okay. Well, let's maybe switch gears a little bit around, you know, maybe just kind of memories and moments, and, you know, what has been kind of the best moment or memory, you know, so far in your, you know, kind of 3 years at Augustana?
I was thinking about this one after I got my list of potential questions. One of them would definitely be Nadia breaking the strikeout record. It wasn't mine personally, but I think that was one moment that the whole team was more excited for somebody than I've ever seen in my entire life. Everybody was just jumping up and down, and it was such an exciting moment to see Nadia accomplish a goal that she had. And also the person that I was looking up to, seeing her break that record was absolutely phenomenal. And then I think that one of my other moments, it's a game that we lost, but my freshman year, I had the opportunity to pitch against Milliken, and that was probably a game that we went into and we were like, okay, we know this is going to be really tough competition. And I was able to hold my own, and I think that that was an important moment just because I, in that moment, proved to myself, okay, like, I know that I'm able to compete here. I know that I'm able to work and get better, and I'm meant to be here. So I think that that was definitely a defining moment for me.
Yeah, and you mentioned it a little bit ago, just around college ball versus high school and travel ball. I mean, how is it significantly different, whether it's level of competition, whether it's strategy? I mean, from your perspective, like, how big of a jump, you know, was it for you, in how you, you know, what you noticed, you know, in the teams and the types of players you were playing against?
I think it depends on the game, because in travel, you get teams that are better than others. In high school, you get teams that are worse. But I think it was just in terms of the competition level, because one, you come in and you're getting the best of the best, only a certain percentage of players go play travel. So that's the first aspect. But then also, I think how it's set up, like in high school, you have freshman, JV, and then varsity. And then in travel, the teams are changing and everything. So I think being able to, like, look at the same players that are here for 4 years and just going back and keep playing the same people over and over and over, and having that knowledge of teams and being like, okay, we know that these six people are leaving and they have seven new people coming in. How are we going to tackle this? Rather than, okay, we're playing this travel team, we're not really sure who stayed or who didn't and stuff like that.
Yeah. Now, one of the other things, I was going back through and looking at, you know, each year the softball team is posted, you know, these player cards, player previews, essentially trying to line the jersey number to, you know, maybe days of the kickoff of the season. And, you know, and I saw the last 2 years, you listed your dad as your role model. So, you know, what is it about your dad that's made him such an important influence in your life?
Yeah, so my dad, he pushes me. He's just a phenomenal person overall. He played college ball. So he definitely gets what it's like to be in the position that I'm in. But also, he was my coach growing up. So being able to have him kind of with me through every step of the way is definitely like bittersweet, not having him in the dugout. It was definitely something different and having him behind the plate. But I call him after every practice, every game. We always talk. He asks me how things went. He'll definitely give his input, which that's what dads do. but I think just like having him as my support system is absolutely phenomenal. He knows the game extremely well. He's very knowledgeable about it. So I get to bounce ideas off of him all the time, which is great. But yeah, he's been there through whole softball career, but also like all of my personal life. He's extremely supportive in all my academic endeavors. So I'm very, very grateful to have him in my corner.
Now you mentioned he played college baseball. Where did he play at?
He played at Benedictine.
Benedictine. What position did he play?
Mm-hmm. He was also a pitcher, and he was more of a movement spin pitcher as well. So we're very, very similar in those aspects.
I like it. Well, awesome. Yeah, it's cool when you have a, you know, you can use, you know, your sport or something to also, you know, kind of connect back to, and it's just kind of a nice little way to connect back to your parents in a little bit different way. So, that's awesome. And now does your family get a chance to make it down, you know, to most of the games? Or I know baseball's tough because, you know, you're traveling around, it's a lot of games. I know it's tough to do that. You know, do your family get a chance to make most of your games, or how's that worked out for you?
Yeah, I could probably count on my hands how many games they've missed of my college career. They're at almost all of them. I know they're traveling down to Tennessee. They're going to travel to Florida with us. They drive to all the games, whether it's Wisconsin, whether it's somewhere hours away in Illinois. All the home games are here. They probably have a reward system set up at the hotels for all their games here, but yeah.
I like it. Yeah, you know, keep trying to figure out how I weasel my way into a Florida trip to like broadcast some of these games for Augustana, but still haven't figured that one out yet. Now, the other thing I was looking at is kind of staying on topic of the player previews. You know, last year you had your favorite show as Full House. Now, Full House ran from like 87 to 95, and that was like peak my childhood year. So like I loved Full House, but how'd that become a favorite show of yours?
I don't know. I just saw it on TV one night when I was watching with my parents. We watch a lot of Full House and Friends in my house. So, and then I went on, I think it was Netflix, became my homework show in college. So I just like having it on. It's a feel good show.
Yeah, it is. Well, we're gonna finish the podcast off with a quick round of Full House trivia. Let's see if we can test your knowledge.
Not
here.
Good.
Put you on the spot. Well, these should be, I think, hopefully we'll call them maybe softball questions. Let's hope. So, all right. So what is the name of the city that, you know, Full House is set?
Isn't it San Francisco?
That's San Francisco. Yes. Yep.
Perfect.
All right. All right. What was the name of Uncle Jesse's band?
Oh, Jesse and the Rippers.
Yes, there it is. All right. What is the name of DJ's best friend who lives next door?
Kimmy Gibbler.
Yes. All right. We're 3 for 3. What's the name of Joey's wooden puppet he uses for a lot of his like comedy acts?
Oh, I don't know that one.
Mr. Woodchuck.
Isn't it like Woodchuck or something?
Yeah. Yep. Mr. Woodchuck. We'll give it to you. We'll give it to you. And then what's the iconic band that performed at the Tanner House after DJ won a radio contest?
The Beach Boys.
All right, well, 5 for 5. That's pretty good.
I'll take it.
Well, here we go. We'll do a bonus question. I threw this one in because this was for some reason this episode always sticks in my head, but it's in the episode of Dr. Dare Rides Again, where Uncle Jesse's friend, you know, challenges him to recreate a motorcycle stunt because his friend said, "Oh, you've lost your edge." What was the stunt that Jesse originally performed?
Oh, I'm not sure. Wasn't it like riding on the edge of something? I don't know.
It's close. Yeah. So to ride his motorcycle along the ledge of the parking garage. So we're good. We'll call it 5.5. That was pretty good. That was pretty good. All right. Well, we can call you a Full House fan for sure. All right. Well, again, Lauren, it's been great to connect with you here. We'll certainly use this spot to wrap things up. I know you've got to take off here shortly, but again, good luck with the Vikings this year. You know, I certainly appreciate you connecting with me, and I know you guys are heading down to, I think it was what, Lebanon, Tennessee next, I believe. To face off against, was it Cumberland in a double header, if I remember correctly?
Yeah.
So, thanks again for joining me today. It's been great connecting.
Yeah, thank you so much for having me. I enjoyed it. Thank you.